You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Cavs a Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis and Eli Kim. I'm not in my normal podcast studio, so please forgive the less than dynamite audio. But yeah, welcome.
He's in a bunker underground.
I am. Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. I'm actually right across the street from Amway Center in Orlando, Florida. So, in enemy territory.
Oh, man, you're just a regular world traveler.
I wouldn't call downtown Orlando really a world destination, but it's
not in this economy.
Get back in the booth. Yeah.
Taking shots at Orlando. I love it.
Yeah, well. So, yeah, a lot going on this week. Finals, game two. I got to tell you guys, I've watched about 5 minutes of the finals. Like, I could literally care less about this matchup. Why don't I care, Eli?
Because the Cavs should be playing in it.
I'm not arguing with you. Or the Knicks, like, I don't know, like, I feel like Indy, I don't know, they should have lost in the first round. I mean, I feel like three straight teams choked against them. Is it just because, like, they say they're in better shape than everyone and they're just winning games at the end because they're in better shape?
I don't know what it is, but it's just not fun or exciting. And unfortunately, the Thunder play a very boring style, too.
Just run into people and fall down and hope for foul calls?
That, and it's just like you got all these Jags who are just shooting their lights out and playing off confidence. But the scary part is I think OKC has all the assets in the world to get better. I think that's even the scarier part. So they could be better and more fun to watch. But this iteration is definitely not that.
Like, I don't know. This to me is like one of the worst finals in a while. Like, I just literally cannot stand watching Shai fall down at the slightest contact. It's maddening. And I'm a guy who bitched about James Harden and Trae Young and, you know, Jalen Brunson. And this guy seems worse than all of them put together. Am I wrong here, Chris?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think of it as just styles, stylistically. Like, these are two, I mean, like, these were the two of the softest teams in terms of rebounding and, you know, just, you know, guy, they don't pound the ball. You know, it's all about running up and down the court and tiring your guys out, you know.
Yeah, they're two jump shooting teams that just want to run up and down the court.
Yeah, it just very casual brand of basketball. I think, you know, I agree with, you know, I don't want to see Shai flop. That's all he ever does. He's a Harden. So no one wants to see that. You know, Tyrese is fine. But, you know, basically what I did was, you know, for game one, I had the game on, but it was just on the background. I was doing other things and I just had it on as a distraction or whatever. But I learned just like I literally looked up when Halliburton hit the game winner. Like I guess I sensed the moment and put on the game or whatever, or paid attention to the game. And it was so I just know that just watch the last 5 minutes to see if anything will go down. And if anything goes down, then I'll watch it. But that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even care about that. And it's funny because I'm a guy who was kind of a Halley fan. And I actually think he's a really good player. It's just I'm very annoyed at the rest of the NBA. Like, I'm annoyed at the Cavs and that they passed on him. And I'm annoyed at the Kings for making a dumb trade to trade him for Sabonis. A guy who you guys were telling me can't play in the NBA playoffs because he can only play drop coverage and teams that can only play drop coverage get shredded. I'm really kind of over. And I think it's a lot of what you said, like the best games to me, maybe you are right that the NBA has gotten too fast and it's gotten too just helter-skelter, up and down all the time. There's no, like, individual matchups. It's just...
There was a statistic that showed that guys are running, like, I think 25-30% more than they did just 10 years ago. Just the pace of the game is so much faster. And also, the offenses are harder to cover. You have to cover more space because everybody spaces the floor better now. So there's a lot of statistical data that shows that they're running like crazy now and getting worn down that way. And also, I think what's missing is a lot of the physicality. You know, what was intriguing about at least the Indiana New York series is there was some bully ball, you know, and there was like some physicality to it. This is just like they're calling like regular season fouls in the finals. Because these are two soft teams, just, you know, skillful, but they're soft, finesse teams.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that the Knicks series was really good, even though, what was it, a six? Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good series, but it's just... Well, A, never go full Tibbs, right? Chris, you probably have a better handle on why Tom Thibodeau got fired, but my take on the situation was that he never adjusted his defensive coverages. They just put Cat in drop the entire time, and, you know, Indy roasted him. And they couldn't really sustain enough defense. They couldn't sustain enough on D to win and move forward or to, you know, get enough stops to stop Indy, right? Was there any other big reason that New York lost that series? Well, and the other part of it was I think they were playing in a hole because they didn't play physical enough in the first two games. Like, why it took them so long to start Mitch Rob was kind of a head scratcher. But Chris, what do you think? What have you heard on that? I know you got the scuttlebutt.
I mean, no, it was Bridges that got him fired. It was Bridges and OG. It was all going back to the
rotations. Oh, I thought OG was good that series.
No, what I'm saying is why Tibbs got fired.
Oh, okay. Explain, please.
Like because Bridges said he wouldn't fucking play for him. Bridges Bridges came out publicly during the season, was like, he's playing us too much. And I think OG did it too. Like, basically there was a revolt on the roster and they were like, we're not playing for Tibbs, so they canned Tibbs.
Well, that's going to really,
after their most successful season in 25 years.
Right. Well, and the funny thing is when they got to the finals, it looked like he was, you know, a little bit smarter about the way he'd managed the season than, say, the Cavs. Although we'll get to that in a bit. I mean, it's I felt like I got proven wrong about Tibbs in the playoffs. But the New York is New York. It's a weird beast. And you got Dolan and it's a players league. Like, Eli, what's your take on that whole situation? Like, who are they rumored to be hiring?
Yeah, I think they definitely really want Jason Kidd. I think that's the name that keeps popping up.
Whoa, Jason Kidd?
Yeah, I've heard that.
And I do think there is a divide between the front office and the coaching staff, because I think Tibbs, if he had it his way, I don't think he would have traded for Bridges. I think he would have kept Donta and not traded for, you know, Cat too, maybe. So I think there is a divide in that front office and the coaching, and they're probably just trying to find the player's coach who'll buy more.
Well, there's another divide too. With Rick Brunson, Brunson's dad.
Yeah. So I think Brunson has a good connection with the front office. And, you know, I think that's why Donta DiVincenzo, he, like, called him out publicly saying, like, you guys, you know, ripped this team apart.
That clip was wild. Yeah. That was crazy. And what was funny about that is like, supposedly, like, Donta, Jalen, and I forget who was the other one involved, but, like, they're all still friends, even though the trade went down. Like, basically,
Jalen had... It's all the Villanova guys.
Game where, like, what Eli was referencing, where there's, like, audio, like, live audio of just Donta yelling at Tibbs and the whole bench, like, just, like, airing out all the dirty laundry. Like, they were just, like, basically what Donta was accusing them of is just, like, being all Rick Brunson's, like, stooges. And he was going off on Rick Brunson and tried to start a fight with him after the game. And Jalen and Bridges had to stop him.
Now, here's the real question. Who would win in a fight, Rick Brunson or Tyrese Halliburton's dad?
You just can't drop a nuke right on that.
Nukes aside from orbit, it's the only way to be sure. I'm with you. Well, we'll be right back, and we'll get into a little Cavs lore here and a little reaction to the Cavs. I think, you know, we all were a little shell-shocked. I know Chris put up an article on Saturday, and we can get into that a little bit, and more to come. We'll be right back.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Welcome back to Cavs, a podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm with Chris Francis, and you like him. Apparently, my audio is much better now. So thanks for the audio tips there, Chris. Eli is in a hotel that doesn't sell headphones in somewhere in Orlando. So please bear with the echoes. And I think we all just had some grief to get off our chest tonight. So I think I will start, and I'm going to go to Eli first because I know where Chris stands on a lot of things. But in terms of the Cavs and Pacers series, Eli, what went wrong? Here we are a month later. What went wrong?
Oh, I think the Cavs were the more talented team. They had some bad injury luck with Mobley, Garland, and to a lesser extent, DeAndre Hunter. Ultimately, I do think their mental toughness is weak, and they just needed to win game two, I think. If they won game two, I think they win game three still with those guys coming back. And when you're up 2-1, I just think they would have had a much better chance. But game two will just forever kind of haunt me, because even though they're shorthanded, they should have won that game. There's just no way to choke that game away. On top of that, I do think, obviously, Garland's injury was a lot worse than people thought. But it begs the question of why he was even playing even more so. And I do think the Cavs are probably closer to contending than we feel because of the result. But I also am a believer that they can't really run it back because of the mental toughness factor. I just think continuing to fail at this core group is not the way, and I do think they might need a personnel team construction shakeup.
Well, I am not shocked to hear you say that. They call you Trader Kim for a reason. So,
wow!
You are the portfolio manager.
But are you saying Eli is the slop king?
No, I am saying Eli is the slop broker. But it's definitely I'm gonna go next because I know you definitely have strong opinions, Chris. I'm with you, Eli. We're here again. Darius Garland just had surgery. He's supposed to be out 4 to 5 months. I've heard A, he'll be ready for training camp, and then I heard B, that he's not going to be ready for the start of the regular season. I certainly think they're going to be careful with it. It certainly looked like in games, 5 and 6, was it 6 games? No, it was 5 games, wasn't it?
Yeah, so game 4 and 5.
Yeah, in game 5, Garland definitely shouldn't have been playing. It was ridiculous that he was on the floor. He couldn't guard anybody. He couldn't shoot. And the only reason he was out there was they didn't have anybody else they trusted to handle the ball. And part of the reason for that was the refs were letting Indiana get away with murder. Literally that first game, they took out 3 Cavs, and it was ridiculous the fouls they were letting them get away with. And frankly, I thought that Kenny Atkinson was way too reserved in the way that he went after the refs. And you know, I think they coached like they expected to win the entire time. And didn't realize they were in a dogfight until it was too late. The other issue that came up was, you know, and I'll just say it right here. I think, well, you said it, for one thing, Garland, we know he was bad. We know what, part of why he was bad, but Mobley stunk. Mobley stunk on ice, and Mobley has been disappearing in big moments for four or five seasons, and Jared Allen was the second best Cav in the regular season and the playoffs, and somehow he's the one that everybody wants to trade, and he's the problem. I have a big issue with that. I think Jared Allen's going to go to another team that appreciates him and will pass him the ball and won't let Mobley jack up dumb shots. And he's literally the most efficient finisher in the NBA. Doesn't touch the ball enough. He's a very good defensive player. You know, Eli today on the text thread, you called him a pigeon. I don't think that's true at all. I think he's almost as good of a defensive player as Mobley at times. He does tend to get worn down sometimes in games, but it's also because they're playing him with a skinny little guy like Mobley, and they're, you know, Jared has to bang against the big guys all game. So I think they definitely did Jared Allen a disservice when they ran the ball through Jared Allen. I thought he did a really good job. I was just very unimpressed with the way the Cavs played offense. My biggest thing that pissed me off more than anything was game five. They had success when they slowed the game down and they fed the bigs and they pounded the rock. And it was almost as if the guards refused to do that in the second and third quarters, and when they basically lost the lead. And I was like, if you can't execute a game plan as an NBA team, if your ego will not allow you to take advantage of the advantage you have, then you've already lost. And that, to me, is the biggest problem with Darius Garland, was that he just refused to play bully ball. And it's kind of maddening. And it demoralized the bigs. Obviously, the Cavs have a wing problem. They have a depth in the front court, and they have a depth problem when they were really good all season in terms of depth, but they don't have depth in the right positions, it feels like. So I don't know. It was a ton of things. Okoro stinks. Craig Porter Jr. should have been playing in game five, probably four, for Darius Garland. The Cavs weren't ready for the minutes grind of the playoffs. Like, the fact that Donovan Mitchell wore down in game two was ridiculous. You know, he was out of shape compared to the guys he was playing with, and that's part of why they lost. So a ton of stuff there. Chris, tell me why I'm wrong.
I mean, you got a lot of things right. I think the big thing is there was no reason to pit. You know, the big thing you're wrong about is Mobley. He was fine. In fact, some numbers say he was great. He shot 40% from three. They should have actually fed him the ball more. And that's really the greater point, and that's the point you made that's good, is that at the end of the day, the reason why they lost is shitty guard play. The guards sucked, complete balls, and it cost them a possible championship.
Yeah, well, everybody not named Mitchell was, and Mitchell had his foibles. My problem with Mobley was the turnovers and the lack of rebounding.
He was fine on those. I think it was his defense that was most disappointing, to be honest with you. It wasn't his offense at all.
Okay,
it
fair.
He was a good rebound, but I mean, like, I think he was our leading rebounder by defensive rebound rate, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it was like at 20. I can pull it up. I have it. So his rebound rate, yeah. Well, okay, no, it was it was second. So he had the second highest rebound.
Behind Allen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and they were both good. You know, is both it, over tw- both over 20%.
All playoffs or just the Indy
just the
series?
Playoffs? Just the playoffs.
Oh, not just the Indy series.
Not just the Indy series.
Okay. What else?
Probably the same numbers anyway, though. I mean, but both of them were, I mean, like, Mobley was at 70% true shooting.
Okay.
Jared Allen was at 80.
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous how little they touched the ball.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a complete failure. I mean, essentially the failure was, I mean, it was Ty Jerome and Darius Garland. They were, you know, they were turnover machines. They shot like shit. They ball hogged, you know. It was just a comical, it was just comedy of errors from them.
Yeah. I mean, I Halliburton would have fed the bigs like nobody's business. Like, that's one thing you got to say about that dude.
Is he did. I mean, that's how Turner, outplayed Jared Allen.
Yeah. Yeah. What else? Rebounding?
No, we rebounded well. We actually were the leading rebounder rebounding. In the playoffs.
Clutch rebounding was rough.
It's guard rebounding.
Okay. I thought there were some terrible situational substitutions. The fact that
was sleepwalking. I'm disgusted by how he coached that. So the one thing you're exactly right about is they played entitled. He coached entitled. They thought they were going to win the series the whole time. Sitting guys on game two, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, and the fact that they didn't have Tristan Thompson out to get a rebound in, like, all they needed to do was grab that rebound. Like, it doesn't matter if Tristan Thompson gets that rebound and gets fouled, right? You're not playing for free throws at that point. You're playing to take the ball to the other end of the court. Like, the fact that Tristan Thompson wasn't in for that last rebound that in game two, like, they should have had all their best rebounders on the line. Like, it was ridiculous. And they
sleepwalking.
Didn't.
Sleepwalking.
Yeah, he was sleepwalking. He was, yeah, I like what you said. He was coaching entitled. And this is why.
Zero adjustments.
Yeah.
He literally saw Javonte Green, Jalen Tyson, and CPJ perform well against the finalist Indiana Pacers merely weeks ago. And did he give him a sniff? No.
Yeah. Well, and especially, like, I can see the rookie, but the fact that you are not playing, you don't have Craig Porter Jr. prepared to play for Darius Garland when he literally shouldn't have been on the floor. And yet, again, we are in a situation where the Cavs mismanage an injury in the playoffs or late in the regular season, and we've got guys out for an extended period of time now. Like, what are you doing? Cavs, it's been every year. It happened with Larry Nance. It happened with Kevin Love. It happened with Donovan Mitchell last year. Like, why are we doing this every single year? Like, I don't understand why they rush guys back from injury when they do. It just drives me up the wall. I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. They were sleepwalking, and they shot like shit, and they weren't big enough. You know, the Indies' wings killed them. I don't know. I still don't understand why DeAndre Hunter didn't play more minutes. Like, why is DeAndre Hunter capped at 30 minutes a game? It's ridiculous. Eli, sorry.
No, the thing is, Indiana's wings aren't really necessarily big. Like, Nemhard and Nesmith.
No, but they're strong, and they beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, absolutely, which I think is a testament to the team construct thing. The Cavs just don't have guys that are, they don't really have a thick body guy, and those guys aren't key parts of the rotation except for DeAndre Hunter, probably.
No, they do. His name is Isaac Okoro, and he is a weight room champion that doesn't do anything on the court. I mean,
he's going to be gone anyway this year, thank God. Or
I don't
he'll break
so.
Out.
I don't think they're going to be able to move him.
Oh, yeah, they could dump him easily.
To who?
Anyone. It doesn't matter. Somebody, all they have to do is attach a second round pick, and he's gone. They have and their motive, and they have a reason to. They're only $13 million off from getting back under the second apron.
Yeah, nobody has cap room though. That's the problem.
You could take a bad contract.
Well, yeah, but then that doesn't make
for an overpaid good one.
Well, right, but then your argument that you just said of you can get under, you know, 13, that's not possible because you still got to take money back, right? I don't know. And we'll get into a little bit, what the Cavs should do going forward, but I mean, to me, was part of the problem that the Miami series was too easy?
No.
I don't think so.
It was just they took Indy for granted?
Well, I like
everybody
that.
Everybody has.
I think if the Cavs maybe had a little bit tighter series, maybe in game one they force Garland to play. I don't know. And maybe it's closer and they close that out. That's about the only thing I can think of.
That's crazy. What about, so one of the things that kind of boggles my mind is that, here's kind of what I'm thinking. I think Indy punched the Cavs in the mouth in game one, and they never recovered. And then the other side of that I would say is that I absolutely think Rick Carlisle rope-a-doped Kenny Atkinson and got him that coach of the year just so he could wreck him in the playoffs. And it was kind of funny. Like, yeah, you got your little trophy. I'm still the head of the coaches association and a much better coach than you. He got absolutely de-pantsed by Rick Carlisle. It was hilarious in a way. Like, and I think the Cavs were way too happy with their trophies. I said then, and I say it now, Evan Mobley's Defensive Player of the Year was fraudulent. The playoffs to me have proved it. I don't know. Any rebuttal there?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Come on.
Well, I disagree. I just don't think he was the best player outside of Wemby on defense in the regular season. I think there was a lot of better players. And I think he was exposed a little in the playoffs.
He's carrying bums on defense.
The problem is, I kind of agree because I do think Wembanyama would have won the landslide if he was healthy.
Oh, for sure. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, but anyway. Well, then he loses to Wembanyama. That's like a different thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Some other bum.
Okay, well, have we exercised the demons of the 2025 round two exit yet? Can we go to commercial break and look forward to the future with optimism, or are we gonna bitch for the rest of the pod? I'm okay with either approach.
Hey, I already said my piece.
Okay.
Okay.
We can move forward.
Okay.
By trading everybody, but yes.
Okay, we will be right back with...
I need to get a drink.
Oh, shoot. I'm muted instead of pausing, but yeah, here we go. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. We are all broadcasting from a wind tunnel, so please bear with us. I'm going to turn it over to Chris, who can kind of cover the windy podcast from what day was it?
A couple days ago. It's fairly recent. Yep.
Yeah, a couple days. Just a good kind of primer on the state of the Cavs, right?
Yeah, no, he broke it down really well. Basically, the situation is that the Cavs are active in the trade market right now. They have until the end of the league year, June 30th, to make a deal right now in terms of aggregating salaries. Before the league year turns over and they become, as it stands right now, a second apron team. Once they become a second apron team, they can't aggregate salaries. Also, picks become harder to trade for them. And then So basically, Wendy was saying that the Cavs owe it to themselves. This is the last opportunity. Basically, the next couple weeks or the next month, essentially, is the last few weeks that the Cavs have to actually modify the roster to any great degree until they're pretty much locked in July 1st. The caveat to the trade and the slop and the how active they are is that the problem with them is that a lot of the trades that they could be involved in can't be executed until past the league year or at least past the draft. And then it involves multiple teams. And if it involves multiple teams, then it's most likely can't be executed till after July 1st. So essentially, Wendy was like, yeah, they're talking and they're willing to do something big, but it pretty much won't happen because even if they could build out like a 3-4 team trade, it's most likely going to involve a team that needs to wait until the league year turns over in order to execute the trade, which then makes Cleveland impossible to do the deal. So that's essentially, Wendy was like, yeah, they could do something big and over the next 2 weeks, but it's likely not to happen because it would involve more than one team. And then likely that because it involves more than one team, that it would involve the post July 1st execution of the trade.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I was reading about with, and talking about with you guys is that pretty much Phoenix cannot move. There's pretty much two guys in the league they could trade Kevin Durant for. And it's like Paul George and one other guy. Like because they're so far over the cap. Now, once the league year flips over, they can waive a bunch of partially guaranteed contracts and that kind of thing and do a little bit to get under the cap to be able to, or under the tax to be able to aggregate contracts.
Supposedly KD to the Spurs is a done deal, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe, well, Eli knows.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it certainly seems.
That's the rumor.
Yeah. Well, is that part of why you're moving down south there, Eli? Or is it to fill the Luka void?
Yeah, I need to fill the Luka void and be the chubby, slow-footed, non-defensive player.
To be fair to Eli, he made that joke in the break, so I stole that from him.
But I do think it's weird that the Spurs would want to go for Durant. I think it's such a weird decision. Like, they should be. I would be.
No, I totally get it.
For Giannis, to be honest.
I think they're going to try and get both.
I think
they have the ammo to get both.
I don't think they can get both. Also, the rumor I'm hearing is that Giannis isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I've heard too.
My take on the matter is the Cavs should try and get the Haslams to bring a championship to Cleveland by trading them Giannis. So
I think they should do that too, but who knows? Also, maybe, the one thing that
they get, I mean, we could do it, right?
The one thing that keeps the door cracked, I think the Cavs technically could do it for Giannis. But they'd have to, the Bucks would have to take enough salary, more salary back for it to work.
Ooh, yeah, see, it is a little tricky. Another team.
The deal would have to be done before the end of this year and get them under, I believe, is if they want to aggregate. If they don't aggregate, then they, next year, I don't know how they do it because Giannis.
No, they can do it. Connaughton has to pick up his player option, though. So they could do it between the time.
How much
Connaughton,
is his player option?
It's like $6 or $7 million.
He'll probably pick it up.
Oh, yeah, he probably will pick it up. But if he doesn't want to get traded, he may wait till the very last possible moment, right? If they can, like, do it between the time he picks up his option and the end of the season, that is something that they could make work. But they have a lot of weird option contracts and partial guarantees and stuff like that, because I think Portis also has a contract option, which that is less clear on whether he's going to pick that up or not.
Portis is a guy I'd actually want back in the deal somehow.
Yeah, I think you could do that, but I have a hard time thinking that, like if it was Garland and Allen for Giannis, I have a hard time thinking they'd give up Portis too, right?
No, they'd be willing to give up Portis. Portis is done.
Why is Portis done?
Old.
Yeah. Well, I just think it would be really funny if Allen and Garland ended up having to play with Kevin Porter Jr. again, who was very complicit in Milwaukee's first round choke. Yeah, I don't know. Who else, Eli? What else do you want the Cavs to do? Tell me what you want the Cavs to do.
I want the Cavs to break up the core four. And it's tough because I just don't think Allen's value is that high. I don't know what you get back. I mean, it's probably a trade where you get a bunch of pieces back for Allen. And for Garland, too, I think you're probably getting guys of the caliber of like Jalen Suggs or Herb Jones or Jaden McDaniels. But it's, how do you fill out the rest of that package? I think that makes those deals work. And I think part of the flawed logic is that the Cavs are going to try to make it so that it forces more usage on Mobley. I think that's the ultimate goal, is that you take some of that usage away from Garland and Mitchell and you start transitioning it more to Mobley. And obviously Mitchell, who will stay. So, I don't know. The rumors that are out there have not been super intriguing. But obviously guys like Herb Jones, Jalen Suggs, Jaden McDaniels, I think those are the names that make somewhat on sense in a construct. But also obviously doesn't overwhelm you in happiness of the return.
Well, if you had your druthers, who would the Cavs trade for? Who do you want wings?
Yeah, I want like Franz Wagner or Trey Murphy.
Well, you're not getting Franz Wagner.
I agree. I think with Garland, you might be able to get Murphy and something else. Probably not Herb Jones and Murphy. Herb Jones and.
I don't know. Like, why does New Orleans do that deal? Like, are they doing that deal just to build up Garland, or, you know, build up Garland's trade value and move him again? Because they don't have anything else. Like, that whole, they may be waiving, you know, Zion. That they are
not
total
rebuild. What are you talking about?
I think if they can waive him this year, they can get by with like only $7 million in guaranteed salary. Like, he's got this weird waive clause. I don't know. I have, with all these sexual assault allegations and everything, it's a bad situation for them. You don't think they would waive Zion just to get off the contract?
I mean, he'd have to murder somebody. That's what I think, because the NBA doesn't give a shit about domestic violence. Like, that short of murdering, yeah, like, he's playing, and they're featuring him. Like, I think the plan is to literally, like, they're going to try and build something around him. That is the guy, that was the reason to get Garland in the first place, is get a guy that actually could shoot and pass it to him.
he has a super weird contract where 20% of, I'm sorry, his salary, it doesn't guarantee each season till the 15th of July. And then I think for next year, only 20% of his salary is guaranteed if he's waived before the 15th of July. So they could get off of his $115 million contract for just $8 million if he's waived before July 15th, which is crazy. Eli, what did Eli say? He had to drop. So they actually can waive him, and it actually might make sense for them if they just are like, this guy's fat, he's always hurt. Also,
there's no way they're waiving him unless like the waiving provision is something catastrophic happened.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But the other thing is he's a very
we're talking about right now doesn't rise to me to the level of catastrophic. It has to be like he's convicted.
Well, sure, but it is a very, here's the other thing. It is actually a very advantageous contract to trade to another team if they're looking to get off of a big contract. Like if you are sitting there with a guy like Joel Embiid, like that'd be a very interesting contract. Like some of these huge contracts that teams, or say you wanted to get off of Damian Lillard, that would be an interesting contract to move, right? Damian Lillard for him.
I've heard rumors about Lillard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they want to get off the contract. He's probably done. Like, he's out all of this season for sure, or this coming season for sure. And then he'll be...
Oh, wait, what? He's injured? That means...
Yeah, he blew his Achilles. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he blew his Achilles in the playoffs.
He's checked out, man.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. And Lillard deserved better. I mean, he wasn't a bad dude. But he's also going to be 36 by the time he's back, right? And he's got a player option for his last year for $60 million. Like, if he's picking that up.
Yeah.
For 26, 27. And he'll be 36 years old. So I don't think... I mean, I'm sure Milwaukee would love to get off that contract. Zion is a player that would make all the sense in the world for them.
No, of course, exactly.
You know, even though he and Giannis kind of play,
they just
the same
don't
spot.
Have any ammo. I don't think they have the ammo to get Zion.
No, not from a pure contract standpoint. No, I don't know if Zion's anything more than a contract right now. I'll be honest with you, Chris.
Eli's back.
Do you think he's more than a contract?
Yeah.
Like,
dude,
he can't stay healthy, though.
What are you talking about, man?
He can't stay healthy.
It doesn't matter. It's not about basketball. It's about NBA, the entertainment product.
Okay. Eli, did you hear anything we said about Zion's contract?
I think... Zion and I, we have the same practice habits. But all kidding aside, I would not. I think it's hilarious that Joe Dumars has already said that they want to build around Zion.
Exactly. Oh, down in New York. Well, what else is he gonna say?
That's
though?
What I was trying to tell you, Nate.
Yeah, but what else is he gonna say? He's not going to say, oh, we want to dump
fair.
This
that's
bomb.
That's fair, of course. Yeah, no, of course.
But anyways, was there another deal you guys mentioned or did you guys comment on the
players? Well, you know, I like that Sabonis and DeRozan. I don't think the Kings actually do it. I think Sabonis provides a lot of what the Cavs need in terms of rebounding and a big body that can play inside next to Mobley. And can also pass and can shoot the three, but you got to play drop coverage with him, right?
Right.
Here's a name, though, that I think might pique your interest, Nate. What about Darius for Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid?
I The problem with Naz Reid is he's a free agent.
He has so a player option.
So what if he opts in?
He could opt in.
That's true. Opt in and extend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an option. I actually don't hate that idea.
Do Cavs get the bird rights if they did a trade like that?
Yes, they do. If he opts into his player option. Actually, I think that's the only way it works because I don't think they could technically accept the sign and trade player.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Oh, yeah, because it has to be executed after the year.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that's an interesting deal. I actually think that might be one of those weird trades that makes sense for both teams.
The only problem with that deal for me is that they would have to trade Allen then after.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. I don't think you can play Mobley, Allen, and Naz enough together.
Oh, God. No, I think you absolutely can. Yeah,
no, they all work really together. It'd be the dream guy.
No, you play Naz at the three.
No. Well, I guess maybe. No, you play Mobley at the three right now.
Well, sure. I mean, either one, but like the Cavs' problems the last few seasons have not been having too many minutes at the big spots, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is they go that small and they don't have the talent gap of that smaller guy.
Well, and they don't have enough big bodies to play big because either one of Allen or Mobley has to be on the floor all the time.
But my other thinking is if you do trade Allen, I actually don't mind trading Allen for a guy like Herb Jones because I do think in the long term, the too big thing is just not, it's just not the blueprint of a championship. It hasn't been, I guess, is more to say, fair to say. And I think playing, you know, shifting from Allen to starting Mobley and like Herb Jones together could unlock the Cavs playing faster from the get go. Now, don't get me wrong, they still need to get a big somehow, some other way. But that's just something that I think about is a team construct and building for the future.
Milwaukee did it with Brook Lopez and Giannis.
Yeah, I don't buy Eli's assertion that the two bigs isn't working because actually what's happening is Mobley is transforming as we speak. Like Mobley's literally transformed in these playoffs. He shot 40% from three, you know, in the playoffs. So he's making big time three pointers now. You know what I mean? So now is going to, his game's just expanding actually. So it makes it even more palatable to play them together. That's the problem is that they're only good together at this point. Like we're at the point where the only real size we have is when they do play together. So to me is like when you could throw in a Naz Reid who's compatible with both of them, you've solved all your problems there.
Well, yeah, and then you've got a DeAndre Hunter who can actually play the three. Like, you've got three bigger bodies. You're really switchy. I actually think, you know, Allen is not a bad switch defender. You know, Garland is a bad switch defender. Allen is fine. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting. I think the other problem is, obviously, Garland surgery complicates everything, right?
Right.
Yeah. But I also like that trade because Jaden McDaniels, I think you can play him at the 2, 3, or 4 and guard better. I mean, his offense is not great.
No,
don't get me wrong.
It's very hit or miss.
Yeah, he's not a real – he comes alive in the playoffs because he's like a Coro, but good. But, like, he can't shoot, though. I think his
defense and rebounding and length is better than anything Okoro gives us.
Sure, absolutely. Anything like that's Okoro is the Mendoza line of our actual championship aspirations. If Okoro is getting any minutes in a championship season, then we're not winning it.
Oh, I don't think that's true. It's not any minutes. Like I think
playoff minutes, definitely.
I think you're being a little bit
playoff minutes for sure.
Okay. I think a team absolutely can win with Okoro. The problem is I don't know if a team with Donovan Mitchell and not Okoro. Oh, did you say Okoro? Shit, I'm stupid. Yeah, you're right. Somehow you said Okoro, but I was picturing Garland. Sorry, man.
What the tired. Fuck, man?
I've been working too much.
No, but the thing I do like about McDaniels too is that in the playoffs he is a riser. Like, he averages more points, shoots threes decently, rebounds more.
He got a little, like, Robert Horry in him.
Yeah, he steps up, and the Cavs just don't have a lot of guys that do that, and I'd rather roll with a guy like Jaden, who has proven it, like, you know, two postseasons in a row.
That was a really big thing with Kobe at his end of season press conference. Is like, basically, you have, at this point, all that matters is how you perform in the playoffs. We're trying to win a championship. And to that extent, you know, what we have is Darius Garland declining, Isaac Okoro getting 130 minutes in the playoffs, and he was a never was, you know? So
yeah, that was such a terrible signing. They should have just tendered him the restricted free agent offer. They'd be in so much better shape if they had.
I know. Yeah, but people didn't want to listen. We were haters. People didn't want to listen because we didn't like a no rebounding, no non-shooting bum.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything well.
Zero.
Yeah, and he's not tall.
Actually, like, no, he's unselfish. So that's the one thing, literally the only thing he comes to the table with. He's an unselfish player.
Well, he's got pretty good hair, too.
Yeah. There you go. He's got a fashion career. He could have a fashion career.
Absolutely. Like, also, I think there's a dude that could really use a change of scenery. I actually think that would help him a lot, too. I don't know. Any other guys out there?
I mean, I'll be honest. I'm not a Jalen Suggs trade proponent at all. That's a non-starter for me. My favorite trade is the Minnesota Timberwolves for Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid. But the other thing is, the rumor trade that Fedor had called out specifically was actually McDaniels, DiVincenzo, and some, maybe a draft pick.
I don't hate that.
Depends on the draft pick.
Yeah, but
I if the Cavs could get one more guy out of that, I would think about it. Like, also, would you pick up Julius Randle for Jared Allen?
I don't know if I want to do that.
No. See, we were gone way too far off it. Like, first of all, the trade is Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, period. Anything less than that should be a non-starter, period. They're getting Darius Garland.
I mean, now,
here's one more name I'll throw out there that I think Chris Fedor had mentioned. So, obviously, as a team's voice, you got to listen when he throws out specific names. But one name that I'm actually thinking, and I don't hate it as much as I initially did, is Jeremy Grant.
I knew you were going to say this, and it's a terrible idea.
For Allen.
Fedor should be drawn and quartered right now.
Okay, but hear me out. If you're going to go, if Mobley is your five, why would Jeremy Grant not fit at the four?
Because he's the softest bitch that I've ever seen play in the NBA.
Yeah, and he can't rebound.
He's never played beyond March in the last 5 years. Who cares about Jeremy Grant?
No, he did a sign and retire contract. Like, come on.
He's in Japan by April.
What about what about Cam Johnson?
Another bitch. Soft bitch. UNC. Come on. He's a Tar Heel.
Oh, geez. I actually like Cam Johnson a lot, but I don't think he makes sense. I think there's too much redundancy with DeAndre Jordan.
So here's the question I have for both of you is, would you take draft picks back? How many draft picks would you take back in order to dump Garland then? How much would it cost?
Oh, I'd want at least three high firsts. But I don't think anybody wants him for that. Like, if you're...
Yeah, you're selling low right now, aren't
well,
you?
Well, but also, the way the NBA salary cap is that contract... Like, if you're a young team, like, who would want him for that? I mean, I guess Orlando, probably Minnesota. Would you swap Ja? Would you go grab Ja for Garland? I don't think Memphis would ever do that, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And you're probably not trading with Toronto. I actually think Toronto, like, there's guys on Toronto I would want. But
Barnes?
Ingram might make some sense, but yeah.
No! Why? Oh my God.
No, I was just trolling you, dude.
Yeah, okay, you got me there. You got me there.
Here's the funny thing. The one I would love is Lori.
Oh, yeah. Bring him home, baby. Eli, how can we make it happen? Tell me how it happens.
Tell me how it happens.
Honestly, I don't know how that... That one can't happen for Allen, I don't think.
No, it'd have to be for Garland.
It'd have to be for Garland. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that one. I think I'd... That one's tough because I think you lose way too much playmaking for that deal.
I mean, it's tough all the way around.
But I just saw New York survive on some really shitty offense in the playoffs and beat, you know, Indy. Capable of beating Indy that way. They just didn't have enough guys.
Yeah, I think you can survive with Donovan Mitchell playing hero ball if he's on and you've got four other guys that can defend, right? Like, that's the problem.
Exactly. That's the point. That was the point I was making about Garland, is that Garland works, but you've got to focus your whole all four other positions in compensating for his weaknesses on defense.
Yeah, and the Lakers aren't a possibility anymore now that they have Luka, because they're in the same boat.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think the Timberwolves around Jaden McDaniels is the best deal out there, because unfortunately for the Laurie deal, that doesn't work for Garland, because the Cavs can't aggregate, and he makes more than Garland right now for next year.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Sorry, go ahead.
The only way that deal works is that the Cavs, like, are able to send out like $13 million more, and the Jazz take it in their space.
Well, that actually isn't could the happen. Craziest idea.
Yeah.
I mean, Okoro and Dean Wade pretty much make that work.
No losses there.
Yeah.
I think they would like Dean Wade more than Okoro in Utah.
Yeah. Just ask Vernon Maxwell.
Yeah, I don't know. How would you guys feel about DeRozan and, Sabonis?
Losers.
I actually think that makes a lot of sense. Actually, okay, let me put it this way. DeRozan is a guy that would help them in the playoffs. Because then if you're playing these, you know, iso ball and grind out games, he's a guy that can get you buckets at the end of grind out games. Like, it doesn't have to all be on Mitchell. And he is a world-class grifter, which is apparently what the playoffs has turned into. I don't know. But he's also very old.
No, dude, you were able to formulate the perfect trade to get the most people mad at you with the DeRozan Saboner.
Good.
Like that was a trade created that to piss the most people off. That was brilliant. I gotta hand it to you.
What about I mean, there's just
No, see, that was Wendy's point, right? When you really get down to it, who's actually available and for what price? And there's not a lot of moves out there. We're pretty much stuck.
Yeah, they're pretty much stuck. I think it pretty much Ty Jerome's back, right?
Presumably.
I think that's a done deal already.
He could get an offer. He can get somebody could beat. There's still enough teams out there. I mean, at least a couple teams out there to beat $14 million.
Yeah, the problem, I think that would absolutely have happened if he hadn't shit the bed against the Pacers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think
that's the whole thing.
I think he just cost himself any shot at a huge deal. Like, he'll be lucky to get that deal from the Cavs now. And I think he will get it because the Cavs probably have no other options. And they really, like...
No, I mean, I think there was a long-term vision. I mean, they wanted to... I think they already knew they could keep him, and I think he wants to stay. They traded for his best bud mid-season.
Oh, yeah, and they got rid of Karras, who on paper, who I guess in retrospect looks like he makes more sense. Like, the part of the problem...
Should have kept him over
Okoro. Oh, for sure. Like, yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't know if they make a ton of moves. Like, maybe the growth is all internal. Maybe it's Jalen Tyson, right? You know, I would love to see him ship Okoro out for peanuts. I would do an Okoro for Kevin Love trade tomorrow. Bring Kevin home for his last season.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah, like maybe you could get a second out of it from Miami. Yeah, I doubt it.
I think Kevin would come back because he wouldn't have to play for JB.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm... Yeah, but he's still got another guaranteed season in Miami, is Miami. My point.
Yeah, he does.
And you could flip Okoro's 10 per year for Kevin's 6 and actually think that's a player that Miami would take a flyer on. Because where are they getting guys, right? Like, he just seems like a Miami player that somehow Spoelstra turns into a productive player.
Comes true.
What'd you say? What was
he
that?
He becomes the next Jimmy Butler.
What? There you go. Oh, God. Okay. Watching them in the playoffs pissed me off so much. I was so glad to see him lose.
One other name. I'll just throw out there, softly. Drew Holiday. What would you think about it?
In a heartbeat.
No.
Who?
For Garland.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Holiday? Why are we talking about Drew Holiday? Why are we talking about Drew Holiday?
I want to win a championship.
You're not going to win one with him.
He's 1-2.
Yeah, but that's not what you need.
He's
washed.
He's not washed.
He's washed.
Okay.
No, the question is, would you guys take on Porzingis?
No, I think Boston hit lightning in a bottle.
No, they want to dump them. They should dump them.
No, I'm saying the year they won the championship was like rolled the dice and got lucky.
Yeah. Right. No, you're right. Right. I see what you're
like, and it was right a good now. Calculated gamble, but yeah, I don't think you can stay.
They
oh my God, would you have Porzingis and this training staff? Hell no. Yeah.
Well, it's okay. The problem with none of the Celtics work for the Cavs because they literally have to trade the exact salary to each other because both teams aren't allowed to take a dollar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was the funny thing is I think Zion and Garland have the exact same contract number. So they could theoretically be moved for each other. Because they were both from the same draft class.
David Griffin, do us a solid.
No, he's gone.
He's gone.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he got fired. Yeah, Joe Dumars is running that team, remember? Or are you just setting us up there? Anywho, well, we'll take one more break and be right back and wrap this bad boy up. This has not been our most inspiring podcast, I would say.
You're grieving.
It's true. We are grieving. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith, Chris Francis, Eli Kim. We're all tired. It's late. Not our most inspiring podcast, but honestly, if I'm being honest with you guys, I think the Cavs are going to look very similar to the way they look now starting in November. And I think that they're going to try and get Garland healthy and are probably more likely to try and trade him at the trade deadline, although to Eli's point, it gets a lot harder. That being
actually,
said,
I think it gets easier at the deadline, doesn't it?
No, then before the end of the season because the aggregation stuff, that's all.
Oh, but I would just think that, so I would just think it picks, you could... you know, recoup some picks in that situation.
Yeah, the problem is you got to take back enough salary to cover the trade. And it's got to be in one player because you can't aggregate anything.
Mm. But the trading team could aggregate, though.
I don't think they can be aggregated either way.
Really?
No, you can't.
Really?
They can send as long as...
They can send multiple players, right?
Correct. The Cavs can receive multiple players. They can't send out multiple players.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. No.
That would make more sense. Okay.
So, unfortunately, you can do, like, you know, Garland's the dollar, and you get a bunch of quarters and dimes back, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, okay. Garland's probably, like, a quarter himself right now, so...
He's a 50-cent
piece.
And Allen is... probably a dime right now.
Well, no, the thing is, to Eli's point, is that Allen's your most valuable trade chip, which goes to show that you really have limited trade assets.
Fair.
Allen's is also interesting because he only counts for $20 million this season, like for a trade for next season, sorry. His extension is the year after.
Yeah.
So... it's actually hard for the Cavs to trade him out for like a package of players because they can't receive over $20 million back.
Yeah. Right. And it's also part of the reason that he's a bargain.
Yeah.
So like theoretically the Cavs could trade Allen for like Naz Reid's $15 million player option and then they could make like two trades so they could technically send Allen and Garland to Timberwolves, but it had to be like two separate deals, which I'm down for, but it just would be interesting to see Minnesota be like, hey,
Allen and Gobert don't make any sense together.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter on that. The sense part doesn't matter, but I just want to come back to, I do think the Garland for Jaden McDaniels plus something is the most appetizing and most realistic appetizing deal for me. And that's what if there is a deal, I think that's the one that could make sense.
Well, I would do DiVincenzo and Jaden McDaniels and draft picks. I actually think that trade might make sense for both teams.
Would you give up on Naz Reid then?
I don't think Minnesota would want to give up. Would want that is the problem. I don't think Minnesota wants to give up Naz Reid in that situation.
Then I got a question. In the hypothetical trade, who are you starting as the Cavs then?
Oh, I'm starting DiVincenzo and
Mitchell.
And then I'm starting either Hunter or Jaden McDaniel at the three. And it's still Mobley Allen, right?
Right.
Yep.
No,
but you have a lot more flexibility.
You'd have to do Hunter in that configuration just for the shooting.
Oh, I'm with you. I actually think Hunter should have probably been starting in the playoffs. But you also got Max Strus out there who also you could theoretically trade as well.
I secretly think the Cavs might trade Strus this year.
Why?
Really? I don't know. Why do you think that? And for what?
Because I do think he's positionally small for what they use him for. He's a bit older. He's close to 30, and he's going to make like $17 million next year. So be a quiet, like, hey, it could help us stay under the second apron next year. Move, you know.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that. If he was on the Lakers, he would just help them so much. He was really good in the playoffs. He's probably the Cavs' third best player. I just don't. He's a hard guy for me to want to move because he's so flexible. He can play two or three positions. But to your point, he is older. So.
Yeah, he was actually fantastic in the playoffs.
He really was, yeah.
I agree.
That's the reason why you keep him. And he became a leader, so that's why I'm not buying it.
Yeah. So are we done with slop season for the Cavs?
I mean, Wendy was vindicated, right?
I do think at the end of the day, Nate, you're right. I don't think the Cavs are trading. It's less than 50% chance that Garland or Allen are moved, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I think any moves they make are going to be very much on the periphery.
They'll just dump salary to get under the apron, right?
I actually think that Okoro for Kevin Love trade might be the one trade they make. I actually think it makes the most sense for them because they have got to get you've got to stop giving the coach the option of playing Okoro in important moments. We've seen this movie for six years. It's not a fun movie to watch. Anyway, any other crazy slop that you think, give me your craziest slop idea that nobody's heard of. That's going to happen around the trade deadline.
I mean, I'm buying the KD and Giannis to San Antonio.
I don't see how they can do both, but it's an interesting. I don't think they can do both with Fox, but. I have a crazy. I think Utah is going to trade everything for Cooper Flagg.
Who?
Cooper Flagg.
No. Who would trade for him?
Utah. They're going to trade all their picks, all their Lori, everybody for Cooper Flagg. That's my crazy take.
And the Adelsons do it just to spike Dallas some more. Apparently you guys don't think there's any chance that happens.
I don't know. It could be interesting because if Kidd, I think if Jason Kidd leaves for the Knicks, I could see that start coming up because the Jazz have like 13 draft first round picks over the next 4 years, I think. So, would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. What happened to Anthony Davis in that situation?
I mean, what happens to their whole team? Like, Clay probably would want out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis would want out.
Yeah, they're such a stupidly... Like, they were so built for building around Utah. Or Luka, and now they kind of make no sense. Like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen with Anthony Davis, but he's not going to be happy with that situation. Anyway. Eli, what's your crazy... NBA prediction?
My crazy NBA prediction is that the Lakers are going to trade Austin Reeves this offseason.
Now, there's an interesting question. Would you get, like, Japanese Jordan and Austin Reeves for Darius?
Hell no. No way.
Why not?
I think Reeves is somehow worse than Garland on defense. I know it's scary, but I just think he's so bad at defense.
Yeah.
And he's also, his contract is also not great.
Oh, it's all good. Okay, so that's Eli's. Okay, guys, give me a pitch and your finals prediction.
My pitch is actually you, Nate. Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Big milestone.
You know, I actually kind of apologize because you're so good at remembering all of our birthdays, and we kind of were late to the ball on yours on your milestone, so I just want to pitch you for your birthday. Oh, I won't say the number on here because I don't know if you want that public, but congrats on that big milestone birthday.
Thank you, sir. No, it's all good. I will say I got a Roman numeral this year. It's a new Roman numeral, and I'll just leave it at that.
Thank you. Yeah, and my finals prediction is I'm going to go with Thunder in six.
They win it in Indy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Indy actually, they're better on the road than at home in the playoffs, so.
That is true. They're weird at home.
Yeah, like they, obviously the Cavs only won their one game there, and then they lost to the Knicks at home, right? So it's I don't know. I just think the Thunder are more talented. They actually combat Indy's physical fitness advantage by actually playing like 10 guys, 11 guys who can run the whole time too. And I do think Hartenstein and Chet provide, you know, they're physical and they have some, not Chet isn't physical, but Hartenstein at least provides a physical component that Turner and Siakam have trouble with, I feel like.
That's fair. Chris, pitch and a pick.
Pacers in five. I'm just hating.
Pacers in five, wow.
Yeah, Pacers in five. Just hating. Down with OKC.
What are you pitching?
I'm pitching the abolish ICE folks, to get political. So there you go. Pitching the abolish ICE folks. There's never been a more vindicated group of individuals in the history of America. Also, I'm pitching Toadies, the 90s band.
The Toadies.
Yeah, Rubberneck. I've been listening to that. I've been revisiting it since it's 30 years old. So, yeah, pitching that album, Rubberneck. There you go.
Nice. I don't know what I have to pitch this week. I am, all I do is work.
Pitch a vacation.
I am going to pitch a vacation.
Pitch a vacation, bro. Where are we going, bro?
I'm going to Milwaukee, Algonquin for the good land, to check out Summerfest, a music festival up there. Over a couple weekends, so I'm gonna see some good bands. I'm gonna see Hozier. My daughter's really excited about GZ Perez. I'm gonna see James Taylor and Jason Mraz, and then I'm gonna see the Avett Brothers. And I'm hoping that the schedule works out that I can also see Devo, Akron's own. So
they're from Akron.
Yeah, yeah they are. Akron was one of the birthplaces of punk in the U.S.
Really?
I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, the punk scene in Akron in the 70s
was... I did not know this.
Rivaled Detroit and New York. So,
Oh, shit. I got a little punk. So my buddy was in a very famous punk band in Cincinnati. God, what was their name? I can't remember.
Guided by Voices, was it?
No. But yes, we know about them. Yes, we do.
Not really a punk band, but, but punk sensibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. Afghan Whigs, I'll pitch them too. Another 90s band I've been listening to a lot. So
nice.
My buddy was in a Sluggo. That was the name of it. So Sluggo was this, it's got a cult following in Germany as one of the early 80s like hardcore punk bands in Cincinnati. And the place I interned, the recording studio I interned at, he was the drummer for that band.
Nice. I will also pitch Hyper Viper, which is David Wood's band in Cleveland. And I actually have another longtime acquaintance. I'll call him a friend. He goes by the name of Crooks, so very good dude. But I used to work with him, and he knows David, and we kind of still keep in touch through David. So stay strong, Hyper Viper. Keep living the rock and roll life. So any crazy draft position? The Cavs don't have a draft pick, do they, Eli?
They do not have a first-round pick. They have a couple of seconds, though.
Oh, okay. So we might see some... It's supposed to be a deep draft, isn't it? Or is this draft supposed to be garbage after the top?
I think this draft definitely has some top-heavy talent, but not sure if there's, like, a can't-miss superstar except for Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's always going to be sleepers, like... It'll be interesting, for sure. Hopefully, Kobe can pull a rabbit out of his hat and keep the pipeline going, so that we can lose Wade and Okoro and get a guy who's never hurt. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Say it again, Eli.
Go Cavs.
There we go.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire. You lost your home. Lose your partner. And we're out.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.